couple of announcements. Tanner Limbacher, where are you? Stand up. I want everybody to turn. This is Tanner Limbacher, and that's his mother, Sarah, sitting. Tomorrow, he ships out to the military, correct? And so we just want to, like, congratulations. Be safe. You'll be in our prayers. Hopefully we'll see you at the Christmas Eve service when you get leave, okay? But be safe. Our thoughts are with you. God bless you. And thank you for serving this great country. And it is a great country. May God bless the USA. Also, we just want to extend a congratulations to Renee and Larry Williams. I know I saw Larry. Renee's not here this morning, but they're celebrating their anniversary together. So congratulations on your anniversary. I did see where she dyed her hair blonde, Larry. He's worried. Oh, our God. His name is truly beautiful, and it is powerful. And I hope that you take comfort in knowing that his name, like an umbrella, is over you. It is to say that he is with us in every possible way. The Apostle Paul would pray and give thanks to God and his name again and again. He would be thankful to God for God's deliverance. In fact, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Lord, I know you will deliver me. I know that you are delivering me. And I know that you'll continue to deliver me. And he does the same for each and every one of his children. One of the worst things that anybody can do is to use the Lord's name in vain. It really is a thoughtless, careless, senseless, derogatory, sinful, evil thing to do, to speak the Lord's name in vain. The Jewish people so revered God's name that they stopped speaking or pronouncing his proper name. What we see and call Yahweh is actually YHWH. We add the vowels. We think maybe that was right, but we don't really know how to speak God's name, because it was lost because of their reverence. Now, that was the tradition they brought in. God didn't say, stop using my name. He just said, revere me. We as people always take something a little bit too far, don't we? But I understand and empathize with the reality that it's a wonderful thing to see a people that so respect, so revere the mighty, beautiful, powerful name of God that we don't want to use it in a wrong way, in any way that is wrong. Well, this morning, we're looking at a passage of Scripture in John 17. And we're going through this series that we've entitled Sweet Hour of Prayer. And we have said we're not talking about a time limit or specific time, but just the idea that there is a sweetness that is defined by the peace and the serenity and the hope and the comfort that comes by calling out God's name. It is my personal belief that no matter where you are or what's going on, when you speak the name Father, my picture is that he stops and you have his full attention. That's how much we mean to Him. And that is how powerful His name is. Oh, Lord, help me. Father in heaven, show me. All heaven, I believe, just stops by those simple, humble words. We saw David in Psalm 32 not praying for a season in his life, and God put his hand heavy on David to get his attention. And then David confessed his sin and acknowledged his sin as he called out to God, and God restored, refreshed, and lifted him up. And that's the essence of prayer for me. Prayer is God's spiritual weapon to restore you if you need restored, and refresh you if you need refreshed. And then last Sunday, out of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Mike had a barn burner. Pray without ceasing. And talked about just the beauty of a heart that goes through every day, every moment with a consciousness of God, and how blessed it is to be able to have a Father that wants to hear from you constantly. So in John 17, we have what is called the high priestly prayer, because Jesus is the high priest. And in John 17, there are three movements in his prayer. First, Jesus prays for himself, then he prays for those disciples that are with him, and then he prays for the future disciples. But here in verse 1, it simply says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Jesus, the Son of God, talked to his Father. He prayed without ceasing. He was in relationship and connected to the Father. And this was his prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. What is taking place here is Jesus Christ is soon to go to the cross. And he is going to experience the shame and the pain and the brutality of mankind as God makes him the sin offering for the world. And Jesus sees this prayer that he offers to God as a Lord in heaven, my Father, glorify me as I glorify you. In Jesus' own prayer for himself, it ultimately comes down to he wants God to receive the glory from his life, whether it is in the good things that's done or the things that we would see that would be so difficult. Lord, do what you will. I surrender to you. I'm obedient to you. Glorify me because you will. But Lord, bring glory out of it for yourself first and foremost. And I think that is a kind of prayer that we might want in our lives, because we have been glorified by God. Lord, bring glory to your name by my life. Jesus even says, while I've been on this earth, I have brought glory to your name. I have completed the things that you've asked me and wanted me to do. And there are things that the Lord has for us to do which bring him glory. Jesus, the high priest, prayed for himself and focused on bringing God glory. And I think we can understand with that, that anything that God is doing in our lives, we desire it to bring him glory. Amen. So this is how we wade out into this prayer. So we move along in the text, and now he's praying specifically for his disciples that are with him. He says, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. he makes it very clear that the prayer that he is offering to God is for those that God has given him. He says, they were yours, Father, but you have given them to me, and I am praying for them, but I want to make the point that I'm not praying for the world. Not here. But for those you have given me, for they are yours. I think it is such a sweet thing to know that our God sent his Son, the one and only kind, unique Son, Jesus Christ, and his high priestly prayer, after asking to bring God glory with his life, he moves right to the disciples that are with him and simply says, Lord, I am praying for them. Well, what is it that he is praying for them? That maybe he is even praying for you. He says, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. Now, because of the unity of Father and Son, Jesus simply says, God, I'm here to do the work you've given me to do, but everything that you've given me, even these disciples, have brought me glory, and they've brought you glory. Why have they brought God glory? Because God has been doing something in their life that we're going to see. And without it, they could bring God no glory. Without it, you can bring God no glory. With your best efforts, without what we're going to see, you can bring God no glory. Sitting at Oscar Scott's restaurant eating breakfast with Jack and John Myers, Jack said, you know, the other day I was talking about prayer, and we'd been talking about prayer over the last 2 or 3 weeks. I always like to pick their brains and see what, you know, the Lord might be showing to them. And as usual, Jack says something that really is great. He said, I was thinking about that prayer, joy, the acrostic, pray for Jesus, pray for others, and pray for yourself. That's, he liked that. He said, but God sort of spoke to me and said, well, you know, that's pretty good. Jesus, others, and yourself. But what about God first, God second, and God third? What if the heart of our prayers and the cries from our heart are all about God? Now, this other stuff will fall into place. But God, God, God. And I think that's where it needs to be. And so, all I have is yours and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through these disciples that I'm praying for. I will remain in this world no longer. He's going to the cross, but they are still in the world. I'm leaving them behind. Later we find that he will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, look at this. Beautiful. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Now this word protect is really the most literal word is keep. Keep them by the power of your name. Keep them unified by the power of your name. We need to understand that it is the power of God's name and who he is that keeps us, that sustains us. That is where it all begins. That's why we see and value prayer so much. Because there is a Father that cares and wants to hear and listens and answers. And we see the power is from Jesus. Lord God in heaven, protect them. keep them by the power of your name. You are kept by the power of God's name. Amen. Kept, protected, guarded, secure, safe by His name. Unified. We can do our very best to try to get along, to try to like each other, to go to small group with friends. We can do our very best in all of our effort and our energy, but it's not possible to be spiritually unified in Christ without being kept in it by the power of the name of God. That's what brings about, creates, and sustains unity. You're kept by His name. You're kept in unity by His name. This verse became just like a really important verse to me several years ago. I still, when I'm out running or riding my bike by myself, just spending my time with God, no matter what's going on, good times, hard times, oh Lord, protect me by the power of your name. Sustain me by the power of your name. Keep me going, Lord. Knowing that He's already doing that, but still wanting to speak it, just like Jesus would speak it for His disciples. Jesus says, while I was with them, I protected or kept them, and I kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus knew that Judas would betray, fall, and be lost, that he was never really one of them. He is called, in other translations, the son of perdition or destruction. But Jesus continues to say, I will and did protect you. Save me, Lord. Except the one that Scripture tells us would be lost, so that Scripture would be by the power of God's name. We are kept secure in salvation. None was lost except the one. We are secure in salvation. We are safe in the name of God. And I just think as you go through this text, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. You know, because really, I've talked to some of you and like, Lord, we're ready for you to take us out of this world. We're ready to be caught up in the air. We're ready for the final reward to be with you. We want that. But God has a plan and God has a timing. And for the disciples then, Jesus said, Lord, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world because I know there's things they've got to do. And one of those things is they've got to preach the faith so that others will come to believe. But I do pray that you protect them now this time from what? The evil one. Lord, we are kept protected from Satan by the power of God's name. My prayer is not for them alone. Now we move to that third part of his prayer where he's praying for all future believers. Now this includes us. My prayer is not for them alone. So everything that I've just said, it applies to those that will believe. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And there's that theme of unity and oneness and being kept in it. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. God keeps us so that we have a testimony to the world. And it's all by God's powerful name. Are you starting to see the trend? It really is all about God. It is all about what God is doing. Oh, in the life and service to the Lord and in submitting to obedience, we are doing our part in sanctification, right? But it is God that holds it all together. It is God who will bring it to completion. God is keeping His people in every possible way. We don't have to fear Satan. We don't have to fear demons. We don't have to fear people. We don't have to fear the things that take place in the world. We are kept safe. We are protected. We are secure. We are guarded by the keeping of the one and only God, Yahweh. And His name we joyfully declare. I have given them the glory that You gave Me. Now this is future disciples and His disciples in real time. That they may be one as We are one. Back to the unity thing. But here, the glory. We are kept in God's glory by the power of His name. This is all about the position that we have in the Lord. I don't deserve the glory of God. You don't deserve the glory of God. We didn't earn it. We didn't and couldn't achieve it. But it's given to us by the grace and gift of God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I have glory with you. I had it before the creation of the world. Oh, it was hidden in this shell, and it was revealed briefly on the Mountain of Transfiguration. And one day it will be seen in its fullness by My people. But that glory that I have, that You gave Me, I gave to them. You're kept by the glory of God, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that You have sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. You're kept by the love of God. To think that Jesus, the high priest, the unique Son, would make such a statement to say, with the love that You have for Me, that love even You have for them. How does it feel to be kept by the love of God? It's absolutely wonderful. Nothing, as Paul would say, can separate you from the love of God, no matter what you face. Why? Because you're kept by God in His love. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am. Well, where is He going? He's returning to the Father. He's going to heaven. Father, that's what I want for the children of God. I want them to be with Me where I am. John Gooch preached that last sermon message on the reward, the heavenly reward, that we would be with the Savior where He is in heaven. A place there would be no more pain, no more suffering, no more crying, no more tears, no more heartache, no more loss, no more physical body, but a spiritual, glorified, resurrected body. And that is what He's saying here. I want them to be with Me there in heaven. We're kept for heaven. That's why we sing, this world's not my home. You are kept by God for heaven. And then He says, because You loved Me before the creation of the world, kept to see Jesus' glory by the power of God's name. You know, we can read about Jesus, and the Lord can move in our spirits and our hearts. And we can see those beautiful texts where Jesus walked on water. And we can think about Peter, James, and John at the Transfiguration. They're seeing just this bright light, and basically Jesus seeing the way he is before the creation door. You and I are going to see Jesus in that way. Jesus said, I want my people, your children, to see me in this glorified state. Why? Why? Because in this world, people can mock Jesus. They can defame Christianity. They can turn their back on the Lord. They can curse the Savior. But one day, you and I will see him in his truest magnificence, simply because we're kept by the Father for that day. Earlier on in John chapter 10, verse 29 and 30, Jesus says, my Father, who has given them to me, his disciples, is greater than all. No one, if you read that with me, can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Oh, that was pretty bad. Got to have a little more excitement about this fact. Let's read it together again. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Now we see that this relates to John 17 of being kept by the Lord. Listen, there is no power on earth, no power in the demonic realm that can take you out of God's hands. You're in his hand. He has his grip on you. You're kept by God. And then he closes, I and the Father are one. Unity. And you and I share in that oneness and unity with the Father and the Son, and we know the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, we can walk through life knowing that God is keeping us, that he holds us, and we're secure. Jesus cannot say it any more plain. No one, no thing can snatch you, steal you, take you away from the mighty hand of my Father, who holds you in security, who protects you, who guards you, who watches over you, and who listens to you. And with that, may we all give thanks to God and praise him continually, remembering when we talk, he listens. And salvation is ours because of his doing. Heavenly Father, it's nice to know that we can pray and be forgiven of sin and lifted up. It's nice to know that you want us to pray. But Father, what a sweetness in knowing that Jesus prayed for us. It is sweet, Lord. And so, Lord, I, and I believe everyone here, we declare the power and the magnificence of your name. And And we give you thanks, Father, for the blessing of knowing that we are kept by you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and let all his people shout, Amen. Let's stand together and praise the Lord.
Church, we just have a